this kind of activity is not acceptable among the saints. That's our subject this morning. Adam Clark, one of the men that I read after quite often, he said, as a covetous man never has enough of wealth, so the pleasure taker and the libertine never have enough of the gratification of sense, the appetite increasing in proportion to his indulgence. Break that down into layman's term. I tell parents when they come to me to talk about their children wanting this, wanting that, wanting this and the other, and I said, it's simple. There is never enough. Never enough. That's as simple as can be. And that's the way it is. As Brother Clark says, you know, the pleasure taker. Never enough pleasure. You always got to be doing, you always got to be going, you always got to be buying. And in our children, you got to decide. There's never enough. That's because of our depraved nature. But let me ask you a question. Are you a saint of the Most High God, a born-again believer, child of God, follower of Christ, claiming God as your Father and in heaven as your eternal home? Think about what I just said now. Are you a saint of the Most High God? Are you a born-again believer, a child of God, a follower of Christ, claiming God as your Father and heaven as your eternal home? That's me. That's what I claim. Then lust, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, and gesturing should never, ever exist among you. So, well, they don't. Well, let's not be so sure. I found that even most adults don't know the difference between adultery and fornication. Hopefully, when you leave this morning, you'll know the difference. And you may find that you are guilty of one or the other and not even be conscious of it. See, our lack of knowledge, then our lack of understanding of what we know, get us in trouble. We live in a sex-crazy society. So what is the believer in Jesus Christ supposed to do? And we do, like a lot of men and women tell me. Don't bother me at all. Had a man 52 years old the other day tell me, I see women half naked, don't bother me. He's either the biggest liar in the world or he's dead. Just that simple. Because we're human, see. Now, what he should have told me, that I see it, but I do not lust upon it. And it affects me temporarily. But to say that, he feels that he would be telling me that he does not love his wife or he does not love his family. What he's really saying, that he's ceasing to be human. We live in a sex-oriented world. Everything on TV that is sold, they use sex to do it. Our children. And we as parents, and I'm only going to say this once because I got in trouble last time I said it. We want our children to grow up too early. Then when they get adults, we want them to become children again. It won't work. Though everyone in this world chooses to be a pervert, we don't have to go that route. Because we as children of God, we have repented. We've been changed. We have an entirely new mindset. We should have the mind of Christ. We think like God and we see things through His perspective. That is, if we are a born-again believer, a child of God, a follower of Christ, claiming God as our Father and heaven as our eternal home. You will not view things the way the world does. Sin may seem like fun, but in all actuality, it is an abomination. It kills, it steals, and it destroys one's life. It is ultimately sends one to hell where there is eternal fire. It's not annihilation. I will not call names, but I heard a gentleman on radio this week said that hell is a place of annihilation. That is a lie. And the shame about that brother saying that, if he is a brother, is that somebody might believe it. What he was teaching people, that you go to hell, you burn up, you cease to be. But that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says you go to hell and you burn for eternity, where the fire and the worm is quenched not. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus plainly stated, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." As Brother Bill and Rossi used to tell me, "Brother Tony, if you don't know what a verse says, try to figure out what it's not saying." And that was some good advice. Now let's look at that verse. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Where or who shall the unpure see? What will the unpure see? Where will the unpure go? If the pure in heart, they shall see God, who shall impure in heart see? It's only one place, and that's hell. First of all, we must settle the fact that man did not write these words. The Holy Spirit did. God tells us in Psalms 119, verse 89, that forever the Word of God is settled in heaven. What that simply means is that we can go to any perverted version we want to. We can change the Word of God to suit us. But the Word of God is settled in heaven, and it makes no difference how many times we rewrite it, how many times we say we don't believe it, it's settled in heaven. It's not going to change. If there is any person who ever plans on making heaven his eternal home or seeing the face of Jesus, then he must line up with the Bible. In other words, as Brother Clark said, he needs to get his act together by keeping himself unspotted from the world, according to James chapter 1 and verse 27. We ought to keep ourselves unspotted. The men yesterday wore black tuxedos. Very nice. But you know, as you wear black, or you wear a dark blue like a jacket I've got on, and if there's one little piece of lint, you see it. All of that black, and you see that little piece of lint. Your life can be pure. It can be pure for a number of years, and you mess up one time, and all people see is that one mess up. So that's why God says, as a way of life, we need to keep ourselves unspotted. We need to strive to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Defiled people don't go to heaven. Only pure ones. Pure ones go to heaven. You know, and as we'll see here in just a moment, there's three areas I want to deal with this morning. Unless the Holy Spirit changes, we will not be here long. This morning, I hope we're not here long on our period, but we won't be here long this morning. We've got three areas we want to touch upon. And that if you're going to get to heaven, you must be pure in sight, you must be pure in heart, and you must be pure in speech. Think about those. Sight, heart, and speech. In the book of Job, turn with me if you would please. Job chapter 31, pure eyes. And let me tell you something. It is very hard in this time and day in which we live and to have pure eyes. Very hard. God says here in Job chapter 31 and verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I made a covenant. I made an agreement with mine eyes. Because I have made this covenant, why then should I think upon a maid? Brother Ward, a couple of 3 weeks ago, preached. So you can sit right in church and your mind can just have anything it wants. I mean, you can have a great time and never leave your seat. Now, I'm sure a lot of people, look at that old black preacher. All them old black people that way. Man, he's just being flat out honest. Our mind can sin when our body is paralyzed. Did you hear me, church? And the only way that we can keep from that happening, we've got to make a covenant. We've got to make an agreement with our eyes that we shall not look upon certain things. Matthew 5:28 said that whosoever look upon a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. We would all have to agree that the eye is a great source of spiritual danger. Where do you cross that line from admiration to lust? Where do you cross that line from thanking God for giving somebody something to coveting after something? I drove over to Walmart the other day, and I seen the most beautiful black Cadillac, Brother Al, I've ever seen in my life. I got out of my old Chrysler Jeep, and I walked around that Cadillac. It has just been raining. That Cadillac did not have a rain spot on it. It did not have a speck of dust on it. I mean, it was the most beautiful vehicle I'd ever seen. And I asked myself, did I cross that line? Don't know whose it was. But I said, man, where do we cross that line? He said, well, it doesn't make any difference. That's not anything to talk about. If we're lust upon a Cadillac, we covet a Cadillac, we'll covet anything else that we don't have, that we may want. Job, who was portrayed by God as being perfect and upright, not by his fellow man, but by God, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, according to Job chapter 1, verse 1. See, God said that about him. I can say a lot about you. You can say a lot about me. But how does God think of us? And God looked at Job, and he portrayed Job as perfect and upright. He was a mature individual, one that feared God, purposed to lead a chaste life to maintain a pure heart. And he soberly resolved never to allow his mind to become defiled by dwelling upon impure images, indulging in unholy desires. Now, how did he accomplish this great feat? Now, let's stick with me a moment. The Scriptures informs us that he made a covenant with his eyes. This was a serious move on his part, for he understood, see, Job understood, Brother Bobby, that a covenant was of a sacred and binding nature. See, in the New Testament, we may go in and we'll say, Lord, if you'll heal my mom, I'll do this and I'll do that. It don't mean nothing to us. It's just something that we thought was the right thing to say at the time. But in the Old Testament, when you made a covenant with God, brother, he kept it. Read me. Check me out. Job knew how important it was. He knew how serious it was. He knew that the eye gate was the main avenue for temptation. He understood the danger of admitting one wanting looked upon that might occasion an impure. See, when we look upon something that we shouldn't look upon, our brain don't have a delete button. And we may sit in church, we may be sitting over at the dinner table, we may be sitting anywhere, and that thought comes back to us. And we dwell upon it. And we enlarge it. Never tell anybody what preachers to listen to. But I will tell you this, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Because there is no preacher out there that is just preaching blatant error. They preach truth and error. And if you're not a student of God's Word, you can very easily be misled. That's all I'll say on that. So we need to have a pure eyes. We need to watch what we see. I've said this for the last 2 or 3 years. It started out a few years ago, and almost every show will allure, hint, undertones of homosexuality. And we just accept it. We just accept it. I never tell y'all what to watch. None of my business what you watch. My concern, but not my business. But I cannot understand at life why a Christian's favorite show would be a show that is starring homosexuality. It blows me away. Now, you can watch it and you say, I can, that's such a character. Brother, that show is teaching us. That show is teaching us. They had a special a couple weeks ago on what wasn't acceptable a few years ago. They bleep it out. You couldn't even say things that hinted to certain things. Now, you know, I compare every TV program to pro wrestling. The rougher, nastier, bloodier it gets, the more people like it. But it has no help to us at all. And I've gone to see pro wrestling. Gone to see a lot of things I shouldn't have gone to see. Then we need, second, we need a pure heart. Proverbs 6:25 said, lust not after beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. The Pharisees regarded evil thoughts and lustful imaginations of little consequence. But however, the Lord Jesus quickly straightened out that type of thinking. Believe it or not, God takes what one wills for the very act. In other words, if one earnestly desires to do an evil, but is restricted by time, place, and opportunity, God considers that act as being done. So Say those three words in your mind for such a moment. Think about it with me now. Some of the things that we haven't done is because we are restricted by time, place, and opportunity. And I'm not even going there, but there's not a one of us in this building knows what we're capable of if we had the time, the place, or opportunity. Now, you may say, I would never do what somebody else has done, but have you had the opportunity? Was the time right? Was the place right? Well, see, under grace, we don't have to do it. All we've got to do is think about it and want to do it. God holds us guilty of that act. That's why that we need to look at certain things. And we always think about the ladies, and that's not exactly fair, but dressing immodest is sin. And I won't get on your bikinis this morning, and I won't get on your shorts, and I won't get on your tight slacks, and I won't get on your low cut blouses. But what I will get on is that you can have a long flowing dress on and be as much in sin as someone who is half naked. It depends on what that dress draws attention to. See, we have those people. I know I'm tying you up on that, Mark. We have those people who are against earrings and rings and bracelets and makeup and all that because the Word of God tells us that we should not do that. But if you would study that portion of Scripture, He is not telling you, ladies, that you cannot look nice. He is telling you, ladies, that you should not ever do anything that draws attention to you. By a nice coat, can't even work. See, it is not the makeup, it's not the eyeshadow, it's not what we wear, it is where. I mean, yeah, I think I'd get by with it. You should not wear a pair of pants with "It's Hot" wrote across your behind. That should not be done. And you may say, it's none of your business. I didn't say it was any of my business. I'm just telling you, you should not do it. Because it is drawing attention to the wrong part of your body, and that is wrong. It is hard for a red-blooded American boy, red-blooded American man, to stay pure in heart, pure in sight, here anywhere when that takes place. Every Christian woman must be sure to check in with the Holy Spirit concerning her attire. Every Christian man should check in with God on his attire. We must not overlook the enticing and passion glances which are like snares and nets and arrows and fiery darts intended to the devil to ensnare, to wound, and to kill her victim. Brother, your pastor has stated for years There is a hug and there's a hug. There's a handshake and there's a handshake. There's a look and there's a look. And as Christians, we ought to know the difference. We ought to know the difference. Remember, no matter how the world looks at it, when a man or woman entices another man or woman with his or her dress, she's guilty of adultery in God's sight. Thirdly, and lastly, we should have pure speech. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. God tells us this. Notice, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Fornication is a general word for lust and includes adultery. Uncleanness covers all abominable, unnatural lusts, such as homosexuality and beastly. Do you think it's strange that within this listing of sexual sins, the Holy Spirit included covetousness? Read it again. Read what God said. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. But notice verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness are covetousness. Why would he throw in covetousness in this list of sexual sins? What is it exactly? It is the immoderate desire of gain and the incessible love of riches. It is the longing that one has to fill his life with material things at the total neglect of his own soul. Now, all sexual sins are against the body. Any sexual sin. That's why the sex sins are so more important, or so highly that we are to talk about them. We are to realize that when you commit a sex sin, you commit it against yourself. And it will always affect you. I talked to an older lady at the reception last night, and she was saying, you know, that she believed that some people could get AIDS that has never had any sexual impurities in their life, but had a sex transaction years ago before the blood was tested, before the blood was screened. That's very possible. Because you can have a sex with somebody and it may be years before it ever comes up that you have AIDS. I just said it's possible. I'm not a medical person. But sex sins are against the body. Covetousness is against the body. Because when you covet something, you want it so bad that you will put your soul aside to obtain it. What do you do when you go out here and participate in all types of sexual sins? You want it so bad, so strong a desire, that you put everything else aside. We're not talking about, I would like to have that. That's natural. That's natural. But brothers and sisters, when you let your family go, you let the Lord's work go, you let everything go to get what you want, you are guilty of covetousness. And God puts that in the same list of sins, of sexual sins. For that very thing that you covet after will destroy you. It will destroy you. See, it is the immoderated desire of gain and the insatiable love of riches. It is the longing that one has to be filled his life with material things as a total neglect of his soul. God asked the question, what will a man give in return for his soul? Nothing wrong at all with having nice, not anything wrong with wanting nice things. Nothing wrong with that at all. But brothers and sisters, this body will not remain here. The soul is what we need to feed. Apparently, as we go a step further, the Apostle Paul then shockingly to some inserted three new sins dealing with the speech of the believer, which many would consider to be trivial, harmless, or no big deal. But apparently God felt it was a big deal, for He placed them in the same category as fornication, homosexuality, beastly, and the love of money or gain. Notice with me, Ephesians 5, verse 5, for this he know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. See how serious he got? Who is an idolater. See, when we covet something so much that it possesses us, it becomes our God. Who is an idolater? Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and of God? Now let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Vain words. God talked about up here in our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. He talked about foolish talking. This includes ridicule, pointless, seamless, foolish chit-chat that does nothing. A person told me a couple weeks ago, said, you don't talk much. I said, if we would only talk when it improves the silence, we would be better off. Does it improve the silence? Silence is great sometimes. Now, when I talk, I should improve the silence. Don't ask you to agree with us, just ask you to think about it. See, a lot of our talking is foolish. It is either talking about somebody or talking about something that will add nothing to nothing. But when it includes sexual innuendos and underline, who is listening? The Scriptures definitely point out that indecent words, gestures, or acts should not be used, or it's not convenient. In other words, they are not fit, proper, or becoming. God did not call His children to do that. So as we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Then we read verse 7 as we close. Be not ye their partakers with them. Brother Tom ended his devotion talking about people gossiping and then telling more than what they really know. See, our speech should abound with words of praise and thanksgiving. When it does not, our spirit and hearts will be filled with overflowing, but it will not be overflowing with joy. See, it blesses me, and it should bless you, that when we can speak highly of someone. When we can speak highly of someone. The Lord Jesus called the pure in heart blessed. Are you blessed today? Are your eyes, heart, conversation in alignment with the Word of God? Are you keeping lust out of your life? Church, this is not something that's easy to talk about. It's not just affecting our young people. It's not. Right in this county, older men and women, it is pathetic. You know why? Nobody wants to talk about it. We don't want to teach it to our children. We don't want to preach it. We just it'll go away. The sexual sins of this nation is destroying it. Talking about, you like to get on the internet? Check up and see what AIDS cost the United States last year. It'll blow you out of the water. It'll blow you out of the water. It affects you when you stay at home, cook a meal, watch good TV, and go to bed. It's still affecting you every time you go to the doctor, the hospital, or any medical procedure. Because, my friends, they will not go without medical attention at the expense of the average citizen. And if we didn't have any children in here, there's another area of sexual sins that we adults need to talk about. And you need, in the privacy of your own home, discuss with your children. Need to. Don't depend on someone that's not informed to give your child life-saving information.